Hello, my name is Nyamka, and I want to thank you so much for joining me for my podcast, Rebranded Christianity. And this is actually my very first podcast of 2014. So I want to wish you a very, very happy and blessed and prosperous New Year's. I hope that this New Year's brings you many of wonderful new opportunities and wonderful people into your life. Now, the title of the teaching for this podcast is Draw a Fine Line with a Steady Hand, Navigating the Mingled Waters of Beauty, Captivation, and Objectification. And because that title is pretty long, I just want to say it again so you capture it. It's called Draw a Fine Line with a Steady Hand, Navigating the Mingled Waters of Beauty, Captivation, and Objectification. So before I jump into the teaching, and I'm sure you're wondering what is she about to talk about, you will find out shortly. I just want to plug a few things that I'm working on right now. So I have a web-based television program. It's called 50 Faith Motivate. And the program is about me just plugging specific faith PowerPoints in a very brief amount of time, no more than 1 to 3 minutes. And it's just meant to just encourage and motivate you in your faith. And the program is available on YouTube as well as Vimeo. So the YouTube username is under my username on YouTube, Nyamka Ward, no spaces. And the Vimeo website is vimeo.com/Nyamka Ward. Now, also, I do have a blog that I've been maintaining now for probably, I think it's gone on about 3 years. And the title of the blog is called A Christian Girl in Her Carnal World, Contemplative Stories of Faith Intertwined with Life in Urban America. So basically what the blog is, it's an autobiographical sketch of a woman growing up in big city cosmopolitan USA, in environments that are not Christian communities at all. They're great, they're fun, they're free, they're liberal, but at the same time, they're also very secular, anti-religious, anti-faith. And I believe just that the Christian world, through literature, teachings, is really not. There is not a whole lot out there for people that fall in that demographic that really is sort of ministering to the life that they have to live in these type of environments. So that's the purpose of the blog. I would love for you to check it out. The website is nyamka.wordpress.com. Now, also, I would really love for you to connect with me. I would love to interact with you. If you have any questions about your faith, your spirituality, in relations to your daily living, if you have any questions about the podcast, the blog, teachings that you've, you know, teachings or sermons or books that you've read that has caused you to question some things about your faith, I would love for you to email me at nward@nyamkaward.com. You can also contact me through my contact form on my website, which is nyamkaward.com. And also I'm on Twitter. So my Twitter username is @nyamkaward. And I would love if you're on Twitter to just find me on Twitter and connect with me there. So let's jump into the teaching for this podcast. I want to start off by making this statement. I often believe that with every step of progress, there's this risk that people will really show how backwards they really are, take off the restrictions, give people the opportunity to really be themselves, and the good, the bad, and the ugly will rise to the surface. In a prior podcast, Eve's Girls, Deliverance from the Oppression of Women, I discuss how the rebellion in the Garden of Eden, the fall of humanity, specifically affected women. If you have not listened to that podcast, I encourage you to go back and check it out. I think it gives a really good foundation about the key struggle for most women and the ultimate solution to it. I believe that we deal with things in layers. There's a root issue to a problem, and next we have to deal with the branches that have developed because of that root. In the podcast, Eve's Girls, Deliverance from the Oppression of Women, I address what I believe is the root struggle that women deal with. For this podcast, I'm going to speak about one of the branches from that root, and that is dealing with a problem that I call the oppression of beauty, or the entanglement of beauty. Women love to be considered physically beautiful. They love to be viewed as attractive and captivating and sexy and so on. Overall, women love validation and affirmation about their physical appearance. And to be honest with you, there's nothing wrong with that. But due to the innate position of the human spirit and the human soul to operate antagonistic to God's perfect will, God-given desires are not balanced. And I tell you this, if there was anything out of balance in our world, and it's always been out of balance, is the physical beauty of women in the sense of the amount of intrinsic value and attention given to it, as well as the actions and decisions that are based on it, are very much far out of line with God's original intentions. I did an interview with Miss Magazine when I was about 12 years old, and one of the things I talked about was how even at that age, I noticed that in our world, women get more attention for their beauty than anything else. I observed women who were extremely intelligent and accomplished in areas like education and medicine and politics get tremendously less attention in the media than women who are in the public eye because of their attention or because of their beauty and or their sensuality. I also observed that the same was not true for men. Men are always given more attention for what they have accomplished as opposed to how they look. And if you think things are changing or getting better, that is not the case. Actually, studies show that the images of women in the media are more sexualized and objectified now than they were 30 years ago. There are two different studies that I looked at that particularly gripped me, and they focused on magazine covers. Magazine covers were studied to determine how women and men were presented. And in both cases, both studies concluded that the images of women were primarily focused on their beauty and sensuality, while the images of men were primarily focused on their intellect. One study cited that the images of women on one particular magazine cover that was observed during the study have progressively gotten more sexualized over the years. So what unique vantage point do I want to bring to this continuous discussion about the objectification of women, about this world's age-old overindulgence in beauty, about the yearning of a woman to be considered beautiful, about the cry of Proverbs 31 that a woman's value is not in her looks but in the strength of her godly character? Why do I want to throw my cap into this discussion? Because in this time when women are supposedly so liberated, beauty is still that great oppressor from whom so many women cannot get unshackled. And I really do believe that putting beauty in its proper place will produce many more confident women in this world. A confident woman is a rarity. And as much as we don't want to admit that, it's just the truth. Finding authentically confident women is very rare and it's very hard. And I believe the reason for that is because our world places such a high value, such an unrealistically high value and demand on a woman's beauty that if you don't entirely, and I stress entirely, disengage from it, confidence will always escape you. What I want to present to you through this podcast is how to escape the oppression of beauty and authentically walk in confidence. I just want to give you some tools, some solutions. There are many women who give this self-assured, confident presentation, but behind closed doors, they are insecure because of the oppression of beauty. And this will not be, and I want to give this disclaimer, this will not be some out of touch with the modern world puritanical Christian discussion that goes along these type of lines. Oh, it doesn't matter how you look, as long as you're beautiful on the inside. The truth is that beauty is something God created. The ability to recognize beauty is something God created. And the desire to be considered beautiful is something God created. So it's just ridiculous to me when I hear these messages from the Christian world telling women it doesn't matter how they look, disregard their beauty. It, to a certain extent, I view those type of messages as somewhat unnatural, imbalanced, and problematic. This podcast is presenting a balanced biblical answer to a very serious problem in this world right now, and that is how to respond as a woman living in a society that is more intent now than ever on portraying women as sex objects. We are heavily saturated with intense media images of women selling their sexuality for every purpose under the sun and being celebrated for it. And in some cases, even going as far as to call their objectification female empowerment. Seeking a man's validation is at the root of a woman's insecurity. And I discuss how to uproot the imbalanced need for that in the podcast that I referenced earlier, Eve's Girls. The oppression of beauty is a problem that unfortunately man created because of their extremely imbalanced engagement in a woman's beauty. And that is as a result of the fall. And that is another podcast that I will do. But like a domino effect, because women want a man's attention and validation, we see that they are extremely into our physical beauty. We place ourselves on the hamster wheel in order to give them what they want, so that in turn we get the affirmation that we want from them. So like I said earlier, if you have not listened to Eve's Girls, please, if you have the time, check out that podcast. So basically, how do we respond as women living in a hypersexualized society? The first thing is to realize that beauty, physical beauty, has no intrinsic value. And I will say that again, physical beauty has no intrinsic value. And I want to read to you what I view as the Holy Grail verse about the place of physical beauty or the value of physical beauty. And it's found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verse 30. And it reads, "Charm and grace are deceptive, and beauty is vain because it is not lasting. But a woman who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord, she shall be praised." And I want to point something else out to you. And what is the definition of the word vain that's used in that verse? The word vain means having no real value, idle, and worthless. So it's just to emphasize to you, just to show you immediately off the bat, that the fact that our world places so much value on a woman's physical appearance is in and of itself is working against God's perfect will. And by just by a matter of course or a cause and effect, since God created life, if we have a sort of a way of approaching life that is opposing the original intent, there's already a problem in place just because of that. It's just simply like if you took an operator manual for a Ford car while you're working on a Cadillac car. It's like by the sheer fact that you're approaching that vehicle outside of how it was created, you're going to have a problem with how that vehicle works. And that's just life. God is the creator of life. And if we're not flowing with how he intended for us to live life, there's going to be problems. If as a woman, you place any value in your physical appearance, insecurity will always be your companion. And it doesn't matter how you look. That's the other sort of myth of beauty, that people think women will be thinking that, you know what, if I lose this much weight, if I get this implant, if I do this injection, if I change my hair color, if I put these extensions in, if I put these, you know, eyelashes on, whatever the case may be, if you place value in your physical appearance, it does not matter how much you beautify yourself in your own eyes, insecurity will always be your companion, because the root issue is that you're placing value in something that has no value in it. You're running in a maze that has no openings. The second thing that I want to point out is that your value in life is connected to this. God's love for you, your personal relationship with God, and fulfilling your God-given destiny. And there's nothing on par with that. There's nothing else that's competing with that. And if there's anything else that's competing with these foundational, hardcore foundational realities of life, there's going to be problems. When we stand before Jesus Christ, it will not matter how pretty you looked during your lifetime. It will not matter how many people considered you beautiful. If you were voted the most beautiful woman in the world, that will not matter. Jesus said everyone will give an account of their works. You have to keep the main thing the main thing. When your focus is in the right place, your soul, your spirit, and even your body will be in a correct alignment. Your life is producing the fruit that has a lasting value on earth and in heaven. And before I go any further, I want to challenge you to truly examine yourself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith." And what I want to really emphasize in that verse is the main thing that you see, examining yourself, and the word genuine. And we have to ask ourselves as women, where is our value? Where is our focus in life? How do you value yourself? If you are placing value on anything other than your relationship with God, God's love for you, and fulfilling the divine purposes for your existence, confidence will escape you. And this is a very serious question that a woman needs to ask herself. And it's something to prayerfully be before the Lord that these things are in order in your life. Because women are socialized to place value on themselves and on their lives in proportion to what type of affirmation they are getting from man. That's how we're socialized in this fallen world that we live in. And it, like I said, it's going in the opposite direction from God, because that's basically the way things are working when, you know, there's a rebellious state. But through Jesus Christ, through prayer, things can come into order and you can be that person that's an example of how things should be. Jesus spoke about affirmation from God and affirmation from man when in the Gospel of John chapter 5 verse 44, he told the people about the pitfall of seeking honor from man instead of God. So what is the proper place of physical beauty in our lives? God created external beauty. This world is filled with beautiful things. Heaven is beautiful and luxurious. It's not ugly and thrifty. As I said earlier, beauty in every aspect is a godly creation. But in God's perspective, beauty is more like a member of the supporting cast and is not the major star. It is like the side plate and not the main entree. Beauty was not intended to hold center stage in any aspect of life. And if you really want to know, if I really was to capture the proper place of beauty, it would be summed up in one word: presentation. Beauty is presentation. It's the presenting of something. It's not the substance, it's not the content, and it's not the main course. For example, when you are looking at books, a beautiful book cover attracts you to the book, but ultimately it is what is in the content of that book that determines if you will consider it a good read, boring, or wondering how it even got published. The cover is the presentation, but the content will determine your book, your opinion about the book. And how the cover looks is not the main issue. I notice this theme throughout the Bible when it comes to the hand of God, and that is that God gives a very good presentation. So putting your best face forward is the place of beauty. But if your outer appearance and the reception of it determines how you value yourself as a person, your thinking is out of order. You have to separate the two. External beauty is about presentation. It has no intrinsic value. Your value comes from your relationship with God and what you do with the life He has given you, because those things are eternal. They're not fading. A scripture that I believe that perfectly captures the placement of a woman's inner and external beauty is found in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, and it reads, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." And I want to stress that first clause. Don't let your adornment be merely outward. The verse does not dismiss the reality that women want to adorn themselves and give a beautiful appearance, but instead the value is placed on the beauty of a woman's heart. And to be honest with you, the Christian community as a whole is not promoting this balanced message that is captured by that verse. Instead, they have been busy condemning women for any expression of their sexuality, and it is not to help women, but it is to make sure that they don't cause man to stumble into sexual sin. Our society, on the other hand, or at the other end of the extreme, is not promoting this balanced message either. They are busy telling women that objectifying themselves is some form of female liberation, when in fact it is making women more of a slave to beauty now than they have ever been. And I just truly hope that this podcast will just help you to see the whole concept of proper order and balance and approaching life as a woman in the times that we're living. And I truly pray that it helps you. So that's the end of the teaching for this podcast. And once again, my name is Nyamka Ward. This has been Rebranded Christianity. I would love for you to subscribe to the podcast. I would love for you to forward it to anyone that you believe it might be helpful to, embedded on Facebook and any other social media outlets that you have access to. And also, I would love for you to join me for the next podcast. So I hope that you have a great day. Thank you so much.